From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Hayward, California.
Nopa.
Kind of lower Russian Hill.
I live across from El Matate in San Francisco.
Coming up, we'll visit a growing Oakland business and find its secret to success.
Our business is helping people who've been formerly incarcerated. There's no shortage. I mean, we're in Oakland. I mean, there are a lot of people who have been formerly incarcerated.
The business of recruiting former offenders. Then, local artist Rodessa Jones discusses reaching deep within her for her latest play.
But I want the stories to all be truthful or rooted in truth.
And we hear the story of a local rapper who's motivated by a bigger goal when it comes to her music.
I always thought it was an opportunity. There's not many lesbian rappers trying, you know, to really get out there.
Stand up with us today on Cross Currents. Tomorrow, the government releases its latest data on unemployment. While corporate profits in the stock market are doing really well, there's been almost no increase in people's wages, and unemployment claims were up last week to the highest figure since the end of November. It's still not that easy to get a well-paying job these days, and it's especially difficult for people with a criminal record.
Most of the jobs I've gotten, I didn't put on the I had a felony. Because at first, the first time I went to jail and I got out, I was putting every application in saying I had a felony. I didn't have no response back.
This is Angel Barrera. He's got a felony conviction, and he thinks that's kept him from finding work. In order to give people like Barrera a better chance, some California counties have implemented something called Ban the Box. Basically, they've made it illegal for employers to ask about felony charges on job applications. Alameda and San Francisco counties started banning the box in the hopes that private companies would also sign on, but they haven't. And now that the state's realignment plan is reducing our prison population, this means there are even more former offenders out there looking for work. KALW's Leela Day met up with Angel Barrera to learn how he finally found a job.
When I meet him, the first thing Angel Barrera does is apologize for his stained work shirt and scuffed up leather boots.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't come sharp, so, you know, it's pretty much hardcore, pretty tear you. If you don't respect the metal, it'll bite you.
Barrera is a metal worker for the local 104 Sheet Metal Union. He's been there just a few weeks. We meet in downtown Oakland in a classroom at AmericaWorks. This is the for-profit company that helped Barrera get this new job. He smiles and sits down next to another man. They haven't met before, but they've seen each other in passing in the building. We do introductions.
Hi, I'm Damian Stewart. I came to AmericaWorks probably about 7 months ago, and every job site that AmericaWorks sent me to, I was hired.
Stewart's also an ex-offender. This classroom is where he and Barrera learned to make resumes and took courses in anger management, where they were offered interview clothes and BART passes. They needed help finding work because of what they have in common.
I was released from prison in January of last year, 8 months this last time.
I just finished serving a 7-year sentence.
A lot of organizations want to help people like Barrera and Stewart when they're released from prison. There are dozens of nonprofits and government groups that do things like counseling and job skills training. But AmericaWorks is the only company that will actually get them a job. Teresa Castor is the person who finds those jobs.
I left AT&T. When I decide to go back to work again, I decide, okay, Lord, show me a job that I would like to help people.
Castor used to work in sales, so she knows how to sell. And she needs all of her skills. She makes cold calls to employers, just gets on the phone and starts asking questions about openings. Kind of like a recruiter, except all of her clients are ex-offenders. She's got a few things on her side. Employers can earn tax breaks of up to $40,000 for hiring people with criminal records. They can also apply for a bond, a kind of insurance in case there's theft on the job. Still, she says, pitching convicted felons as viable job candidates is tough. I wasn't allowed to record a real cold call, but she says a typical message sounds something like this.
Hello, good morning. My name is Teresa Castro with AmericaWorks of California here in downtown Oakland. I would like to talk to somebody in charge of the hiring. And the reason I'm calling is I would like to let you know that We are currently working with Alameda County to assist them with employment for people who've been formerly incarcerated. And right now we are currently again working with these people who are ready to work, and they're hardworking people. Aside from the fact that they have been in trouble before, they only need employer to work with them, give them the second chance. They're all well trained, and they're ready to go to work. And
getting a stable job is a huge step towards reintegrating into the community. But ex-felons often face other issues, like they live in dangerous neighborhoods or they're around a lot of crime. And those are the cases Castor says are the hardest.
A lady that I helped, I found her a job at BevMo, and finally she found her own apartment. I gave her some of my stuff that I don't use anymore. And all of a sudden, I don't hear from her anymore. So I contacted her home. Sister called. Sister said she got shot. So it's difficult. It's hard.
That's an extreme situation. But America Works is used to clients with difficult histories. They're a national company, and in other states, they focus on finding jobs for people who are homeless or have disabilities. In Alameda County, they've got a $500,000 contract to place at least 250 ex-felons in jobs within 1 year. So far, they've placed about 100 in retail jobs, warehousing, restaurants, landscaping, and construction. Matt Erickson is the company's Oakland director.
This job really is a series of successes and failures. I think, you know, what I try to tell the staff here is that sometimes it feels like we're spinning our wheels. We'll set up a job and, you know, all the person needs to do is show up. That's all they need to do is show up and they've got a job. And sometimes they don't do that.
They, meaning offenders. If they don't show up to their new jobs, AmericaWorks doesn't get paid. The company invoices the county every time they get someone a job. But for the money to come through, 60% of the people they place have to remain employed for 6 months. Erickson says that too often, no one checks to see if job training programs actually lead to jobs.
It always surprises me the standards that are met or not met. I certainly think that the standards need to be higher. There really needs to be more accountability in the outcomes.
All of the organizations have the same goal, to lower the recidivism rate. The best way to do it is still a debate. Frank Williams works for San Francisco's nonprofit Senior Ex-Offenders Program. He says even when ex-offenders do get jobs, it's sometimes hard to keep them.
As far as just linking them up with a job, we've found that that don't work because they won't keep them. You know what I mean? They might be on a job a month or two and quit. Why? Because no purpose, don't know how to work, still have low self-esteem, you know, feel like they're not worthy of something. Or, and I don't want to use the term lazy, but just uninspired. You know what I mean? So we have to find a way to get them motivated. And some of that is sending them to trainings.
Those trainings, he says, are a better use of the program's resources. On its website, Alameda County lists at least 21 other organizations that offer job placement for ex-offenders, but none of them actually guarantee work. Like the Senior Ex-Offenders Program, they offer training and classes. And even that's not a guarantee. When I called around, a few of the numbers weren't even working.
Sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected or is...
AmericaWorks sometimes competes with 30 to 50 organizations when a new contract is posted. But the current contract was awarded to the company directly. No competitive bidding. John Keene, the county's deputy chief probation officer, says that's because AmericaWorks is the only organization that can guarantee active job placement. Back in the classroom, Angel Barrera says he still worries about the temptation to fall back into the same routines that first landed him in jail.
I was so stressed out get before I even got out because I was scared. And the reason why I was scared, I was like, I really want to do good. But I just figured, like, man, when I get to the streets, it's like a whole different thing.
Barrera and Damian Stewart are trading stories of what finding work has been like for them. Stewart remembers one of his first jobs out of a 7-year prison sentence. He worked on the campaign ballot measures in 2012, explaining Propositions 30 and 32 that dealt with California state tax increases.
And it passed. It did feel awesome. Going door to door and letting everybody know what was going on. To have somebody come out that may look like you or talk like you or whatever. As you know, a lot of times politicians, people use big words. So we just need somebody to come talk to us and be real.
When that job ended, he decided to go back to school, where he's studying media. Meanwhile, Angel Barrera says his new employer, the steelworking company, never asked him about his past. That's because AmericaWorks had already contacted them. So they knew he'd served time in prison. When he's at work, he doesn't volunteer any information about his felony charges to his coworkers. He'd rather just move forward.
I used to lie on my application all the time. But now that every application I fill out, I put, you know, we'll explain. But what that gave me is more confidence. So even if you don't get the job, it's a real good mental thing for you. It's like, I have changed and I am, you know, I have accepted my faults, accepted for what I did. And, you know, I did my time and here you go. I'm ready to get back into the community.
The Alameda County Sheriff's Office estimates that realignment will send about 47 new inmates to the county jail each month. That's where they'll finish their sentences. Before long, they'll be released. This month, the county is sending a public request for proposals to groups that could help those people find jobs. $1.75 million is up for grabs. The county says organizations will be required to offer follow-up services and to guarantee that a certain number of their clients actually remain employed. For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day.
You can find more information about AmericaWorks on our website, kalw.org. And we want to hear what you think about the Ban the Box campaign. Would you employ a former offender? Why or why not? Leave a message on our feedback line, 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. For inmates who are not yet out of prison, one avenue of reform is art. Bay Area artist Rodessa Jones has been described by San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee as, quote, an artistic powerhouse whose work has transformed and saved lives. The teacher, singer, writer, and activist took theater to places it seldom goes, producing theater for female prison inmates and HIV-positive women. Her current performance, The Resurrection of She, chronicles her life through storytelling, dance, song, and visual imagery. She dives into the realities of being Black and female in America today, while reaching deep within her own history to tell the story. Rodessa Jones joins me in studio to talk about her life and the resurrection of She.
Oh, sweet freedom sounds on the wind. I'll know you forever as my friend. Theater found me. You know, I was an artist's model for a long time. When I moved in with Riley and moved to Rochester, New York from the countryside, people would say, you should model for Mr. Brown's class. And it was just, I was so strong. I'd worked on the land. And all around me, I'm like looking at sculptures and paintings of me. And I'm wondering, what does this have to do with anything? And then I loved telling stories. I knew that there was something very special about me, that I was a colored girl. Sonnet Rowell, these white girls, we're all the same age, but I could cook. I could make a whole Thanksgiving dinner. And people were like, you made all this? People would say, oh, you got to meet this spade chick. You know, God bless them. And so they'd come to my house. And Riley, I was living with this white boy, this Irishman, and we would just hold court. We didn't know it then. We were just sort of talking about revolution and how we were going to change the world. And then I always had a story about where I'd come from. That was how I contributed to the conversation. And next thing I know, I am doing a play, The Owl and the Pussycat. I stepped in for somebody in this theater company.
Was this your first?
Yeah, this was the first, like, organized play. And I walked on with a script, and I killed. It was like, you know, and the director said, Redessa has agreed to go on and do this. And the audience just loved it, that I was so brave. And I was home. I was just home. And then it took me more, you know, then I got involved with prison reform. I was, you know, I went to, my brother was at Attica. I had a brother who was at Attica when the insurrection happened there. And all of a sudden I was being asked to come and speak, do testimony around being a sister of a brother who was in that lockdown. And from there I went to Inside Outside, which was in Seattle, which was my first plane ride. And I ended up in San Francisco and started to dance with Ed Mock, Tumbleweed, Teresa Dickinson, who was alumni of the Twyla Tharp Dance Company. They were rehearsing, Tumbleweed was rehearsing in the same space that my family was rehearsing in, because my mother and father all came out. We were going to make plays. We were just going, you know, like in
everybody
movies,
came to San Francisco.
That we moved to San Francisco over a period of time. My mom and dad came to mind the children while we made theater. I mean,
that's the life.
I know, it's amazing. My brother Bill and Arnie Zane moved to San Francisco. My brother Azel wrote a play, Port Royal Sound, which was about the freeing of the first slaves in the Civil War.
So you've taken all these life experiences
yes.
And put them into the resurrection of She.
Yes,
how did you pick and choose what? Because, you know, you can't possibly condense your whole life to an hour or 2 hours. How did you choose what to include and what not to include? So what was your message?
Well, my partner, Idris Akamore, and myself, Idris was using the word a biopic. So, you know, it's a biopic. This is a living biopic. And I'm like, okay. And, but I wanted the stories to all be truthful. Let us go back and look at who we were, who we want to be, where we've been, and that's basically how I shaped the show. Was like, and simplistically, my partner Idris said, "Well, you're gonna sing more, but I really want you to sing in this show because I'm known for my dramatics and the true hard truth telling." He said, "Yeah, we're gonna keep that, but I want you to we're really gonna work on crafting songs for you. We're gonna write songs, and that's what we did as well, and." But I wanted the stories to all be truthful or rooted in truth. Pine trees come calling for me. I can't walk and I can't see. Oh, ocean blue, hear me too. For I wouldn't be living but for you, yes, for you. And clouds and skies and wonderful eyes. Yes, clouds and skies and wonderful eyes.
Rodessa Jones's new performance, The Resurrection of She, is showing at the Brava Theater in San Francisco through Sunday. Details are at KALW.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Art is a great way to facilitate some of life's tougher conversations. Potentially charged issues like race and identity always find a place in artistic expression. And that brings us to today's installment of Bay Area Beats, where local musicians tell us their own stories.
Catch me on a go-go, just like D-Lo, me f- with no ho.
Mika Tron is a rapper born and raised in San Francisco. She's a queer woman of color, but the hurdles she's faced go beyond race, sexual preference, and gender. She's lived in a shelter, displaced by Hurricane Katrina. A few years into her 20s, she was diagnosed with epilepsy. But she hasn't let any of this stop her from pursuing her music career. She says it actually motivates her. After her nephew was born deaf, she learned sign language, and her latest dream is to make music for the deaf community. She spoke with reporter Lo Benishu about her story.
Tramika Dempsey is my government name. Haha, Mika Tron is my artist name.
Don't look up, the sky is falling down. Just don't look up, the sky is falling down.
The Sky Is Falling Down. It was a song I wrote a while back. Alicia, Alicia, her father was a preacher, but I guess that he really didn't teach her that when you go out for a little sex and you gotta have protection. Now she's learning a lesson. 15 years old, living life so cold. I don't know, it was just some stuff I was just like making up, three characters coming together, and they all have these like trials and tribulations. Easy, believe me, you could get through anything if you just keep breathing. It was, yeah, directly towards, like, people who come from that kind of background. Same kind of background I came from, really. But, you know, there's a way to make it. I feel like I'm the odd bird in my family. When I was younger, there was one point we stayed in the shelter, and I had a mentor who they assigned to me, and she ended up being my mentor from beyond moving out the shelter. She actually was my mentor for like 2 or 3 years up until middle school. And I feel like she opened up the whole world to me because I lived in the projects and my family was so closed-minded. I didn't really get to see a lot of the city. And so she took me to places like the De Young Museum. Like, she took me to like Chrissy Fields. I had never seen Chrissy Fields before in my life. We did a lot of stuff. It was so mind-blowing. It opened my whole eyes to the city that I had never known, you know. Then she disappeared. Like, I never saw her again. And I know that she was a lesbian. I think that may have impacted me somehow, too.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Mika Tron, Lady Nerd has left. Yep, out of the closet, right off of the top shelf. I like what I like. I don't need no help. Lipstick on me, oh well. My mommy gets mad, but I'm like, oh well. That kitty cat I smell made me.
I feel like I came out at two different times. One to my family was the most recent because my family is kind of small-minded and biased against a lot of kind of people. So I waited a long time to come out to my family. But before that, I was just doing me. Everybody pretty much knew. I always thought it was an opportunity. There's not many lesbian rappers trying, you know, to really get out there.
I've been gay since the 80s, so you couldn't even pay me to sleep with a lady. But I drive them all crazy. Now they want to pay me off just to donate a baby.
Katrina's Ground Zero is currently too close for comfort.
Messing up and getting out is tonight's theme across several Gulf Coast states.
I was going to Dillard University, and it was a week before the hurricane, and so I got displaced. It set me back so far, like, I think I just now finally caught up, like, to where I need to be. But as far as school-wise, like, they lost all of my information, my scholarship, and all of my records and all of this, so I was starting over, really. And I'm like, why am I starting over? This is stupid. So I came back home.
Back like a greatest hits album, made it over that mountain, and I still got time to spend. Where the haters at, I want to see about them, so I can shut them down when, anytime, anytime.
I didn't really know about the deaf community until my nephew was born, and he was born deaf. He's now 7 years old. So when he was born, my sister was really on her game, and, you know, she took care of everything, sent him to the right school. She learned sign language. And I tried to follow right behind her so that I could communicate with him, too. And she ended up getting a job at that school that he graduated from. And then, because I had learned so much, too, at that point, they hired me. And I've been there for 2 years now. That's one of my new ideas. I'm feeling like I want to make music for deaf people. They feel the tempo of the music and they feel the punch of the music, but the sounds are different. It's something that they feel and internalize differently than other people. Because I feel like people who hear music don't really listen to music. They just hear it, or they feel it, they bop into it, you know. But they don't really internalize the sounds, the instruments, the words, everything that's inside the song. And I feel like I want to do something like that to bring out the music in a song, so that people can see it like more from a different side. And that's what I want to do. I want to get my music everywhere so I can show everybody, you know, who I am, so people can experience something different from somebody who's in a realm of people who you get overlooked all the time, you know. I think it's our time to stand up.
undiscovered I am. And it seems like nobody really knows who I am. But I jam for the love of the music. If you hate, homie, I don't really give a damn. Originality is what you deserve. Listen to my brain waiting in the way that it works. When it's written on paper, man, my words are berserk. Call me preacher or the deacon because I take them to church. And I'm the first.
That's local rapper Mika Tron. She spoke with Lo Benishu. You can see Tron tomorrow night performing at the Elbow Room in San Francisco. And if you know of a local musician with a story to tell, let us know on our tip line. Leave us a message at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106, and we may feature them on the show. And that does it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. The team includes Julie Kane, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Nina Gensler-Debs, Anna Sterling, Alex Kaminsky, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Liz Pfeffer, Seth Samuel, Stephen Short, RJ Sloan, and Christine Stolakis. Today's show is engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Martina Castro is our managing editor. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our news director. And thank you. We are listener-supported radio. I'll be shining for light. Ink stains on my body, I'll be tatted for light. The sounds you're hearing are by the Dunya Dance and Drum Company of San Francisco. They'll be providing the rhythm for The Madness of the Elephant, a theater production about the first president of the nation of Guinea. There are two performances tomorrow and Saturday at the Jewish Community Center in San Francisco. Curtain goes up at 8 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.